The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient. Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy, blessed day, O happy, blessed place, O happy, blessed time, O happy, blessed path, O happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what should we look at this morning?
Well, one thing I've been looking at in the last couple days, in a meeting we had, Sherry said something about I heard something around the lines that it's a great act of service to do what's in front of you with a glad heart.
Yes.
And it really stuck with me. Mm. You know, I just I could feel the truth of that.
Yeah.
And
it's an act of service to do what's in front of you with a glad heart, and you can feel how that is.
I could just see how that really is a service to, well, not only this person, but everybody around this person.
Yeah.
But, you know, wow, what a delight that is.
Yeah.
Well, I have a sub-personality. Mm-hmm. Let's call her, it's Skin, seems like her bottom line reaction is quite the opposite of doing what's in front of her.
More like a man.
It's an eye roller, you know.
It's an eye roller.
It's an eye roller. Like, oh God, you know, I can't believe that they want me to do this.
Uh-huh.
And what, you know, is there, how am I going to find the time? And, you know.
Immediately when a task is presented, rather than glad heart, there's eye rolling and
right.
What can they be thinking?
Right.
And, yeah.
There is occasionally a glad heart, but you know, I see this
front
other,
center comes out, yes. One who's sort of there off stage waiting to
see this other one. And I mean, the cool part is I'm seeing her, and I think of how many years I lived my life and never even saw that going on.
Were her.
I was her.
Yeah.
You know, and it never occurred to me there would be another way to be.
Which is a nice description of Skin.
Yeah.
In terms of, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
You know, why question it?
Right.
It's just whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And, so... Yeah, so now I've just completely gone blank with all of them.
So you're seeing this part who is so familiar that you realize that in the past you've just been her and not been aware that in effect that there was a choice.
Yeah.
And that you were being a way that there was a choice about. And when you hear the doing a task with a glad heart, it assists you, it sounds like, in seeing the contrast.
Seeing the contrast with mm-hmm. that. Yeah, it has assisted in that. And I just noticed there's a whole range, you know, there's the whole idea about how life should work.
That's skin again?
That's skin again, you know, yeah. And there's this plan, you know, and everything should just, you know, get ticked off in a certain order and according to this plan. And when her plan gets upset,
you know, she gets ticked off.
And so just finding the place of acceptance for her. And,
yes.
And
from a place that isn't her. I mean, it sounds like you're able to kind of move through, oh boy, that's the way I always am, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who often shows up first. She's got a plan.
Right.
And life should go that way.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just seeing the first hints of willingness to just, like, notice her and kind of smile and, like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going through that, what I see happen is that shows up, I have that reaction, I do the job, and then what almost always happens is I find out I can do most of what's given.
Yeah.
You know, presented.
Yes. Yes.
Without, you know, and so then that's the opportunity for self-hate to come in and make me mm-hmm. feel shame and, mm-hmm. you know, like you should have. You know.
Yeah, it pushes you into having the reaction around not enough time, how could they be asking me?
Yeah,
and then it beats you up for being able to do it and having had that
exactly.
reaction.
Exactly, right. Yeah. You should never have been, you know, look at that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
You know,
you can do it.
You're wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. mm-hmm. So, just seeing how that whole thing goes on able to see it, doing it with a glad heart leaves no room for that beating later on down the line to say, even if I'm doing it with a glad heart and I don't get it done, I've got a glad heart.
You still got a glad heart. You don't have that conversation about what should have happened and how bad you are or how good you are or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really seeing it sounds like, and being able to get more and more distance from the one that gets called skin.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that moving into that place of doing it with a glad heart has to do with embracing that one with a glad heart.
Yeah.
And not making her the call to her.
Yeah, that song, You Have to Be Taught. Okay, it's
could you sing
from
a few? 100,
no, but it's from a long time ago, but it's children have to be carefully taught to not like things, to hate things.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what was coming up for me this morning. You know, I think I'm seeing that young kid, very, very young, preconditioned kid. You know, if you tell that kid that they had to, you know, sort 300 papers and then, you know, construct a building in the next hour, they would just say, right! You know, they'd just go for it.
Yes.
And there would be none of that, like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's just impossible. That's hopeless. That's
That being taught how not to do things, how to do things without a glad heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sort of squashing the glad heart.
That is something that's taught.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. Thanks.
Thank you.
Amy. That was interesting. I was relating to a lot of that,
mm-hmm.
and I that was really helpful to hear the piece about doing what's in front of you with a glad heart,
mm-hmm.
and I see that is not always the experience that I go to. And I've also been having the experience of disidentifying from that reaction of not having a glad heart.
Yes.
And like what was talked about, having acceptance for that person.
For the one whose first reaction is whatever the first reaction is, other than a glad heart. Yeah.
And I was just reminded of something I remember a monk saying in group a long time ago, talking about like seeing that reaction arise. If I think the example that was given is if someone is in front of them in the grocery line with 11 items instead of 10 or something like that, and having the reaction of, I know, can you believe it?
Yeah.
And like sort of like in an exaggerated way, kind of kidding that person, or
kidding the one internally who's having the experience of why are they in the express lane with 11 items?
Yeah. I've been finding myself doing that recently. That's sort of kind of not in a mocking sort of way, but in a sort of humorous, I'm not taking it seriously sort
of way. Turning it into almost like a slapstick thing. Yeah.
Like, I know, I can't believe that, blah, blah,
yes.
blah.
Yes.
It's been, the experience is one of being friends with myself, or being friends with that part of me who's having whatever experience she's having, and being on her side, not necessarily taking her position.
Yes, yeah. And it sounds like helping her to see in doing that sort of exaggerating her reaction, helping her to see that maybe it's
doesn't
could
need to
be seen from a different perspective.
So seriously.
Doesn't have to be taken so seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that shit, and it contributes to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been practicing with that, and I guess that's it for now.
Yeah, that's a nice reminder of that that tool to just play it up a little bit, because you have to be disidentified to think to do that, and then to do it is further disidentification, which is really nice. Yeah, thank you. Vicky?
Well, the contrast that were pointed to earlier, and I've been looking at that and seeing that, well, at least this is what I think I'm seeing lately, and it's not fully tested out yet, but that I'm almost seeing like a kind of the range of conditioned experience and non-conditioned experience as sort of a bell curve, and that when I'm at the top, I'm very close to either one.
Yes.
Almost. So
it might even be sort of a point.
Exactly.
Right?
It's like when I'm at that point, it's like the experience of the worst conditioning and the best life is are right there.
Yes, just almost touching.
Touching. Yeah, and that, and how I started seeing it was noticing that when I had moments of great clarity and expansion and being in touch with life, it would almost certainly be followed by a bout of a conditioned attack that was like one of the worst it gets.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard myself saying into my recorder something along the lines of, expansion is almost certain to be followed by terror, and what I need to practice is following terror with expansion.
So being alert for
right.
the, and when you said terror, I was thinking also contraction.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Be alert for,
yeah.
Oh, wow, and
right.
remember.
Right, yeah. So it's like conditioning knows how to make that energy transfer. It says, oh, she's She's sliding mm-hmm. over into well-being. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's pull out all the stops and bring her back into our camp. Mm-hmm. And what I need to be aware of is how to say, uh-oh, they're pulling out all the stops. I need to come back.
Well, home, you know, it's interesting as you were saying that, because I was thinking of ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. and imagining that you surf.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
So staying with the pull to the other mm-hmm. side, mm-hmm. rather than.
But not resisting it.
Yeah.
But I think what I was saying is being more alert to it happening.
Yes.
Rather than just all of a sudden finding myself mired in the muck.
And believing it.
And believing it and mm-hmm. not recognizing that. And not recognizing yes. how close I am to not being
yes.
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, it's like, if I take my bell curve analogy a little farther, I think when I'm on those, you know, the nice flatter parts of the bell curve, I'm in more danger than when I'm at the top. Because if I'm out in mild conditioning, I don't have, there's no great urgency to...
In a way, the suffering isn't intense enough.
No, mm-hmm. or like even in mild well-being, there's no real danger there either, because mm-hmm. conditioning is probably going to just let me hang out there because there's no big threat. But when mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. at those levels of real, you know, intensity between I and my heart is like a real, you know, it's like that was the symbol for crisis, danger and opportunity
oh,
at
yeah.
the same time.
Right,
you
right.
know, it's a, and it feels like, I don't know, to this being that's where I've been living most of my life lately.
Right there on that point between expansion and mm-hmm. terror is the way it gets labeled.
Yeah.
There was some quotation, and I can't remember which of the sources it was, recently I think, about it can take years and years and years and years to build up the conditioning that, and then just a moment mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to step out of it. And it feels like your bell curve is kind of a graphic of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I was assisted in seeing that by my current, I have a current 30-day retreat commitment that is to consciously choose 3 times during the day when I stop and record and listen about where my attention, where I just saw it was and where I would rather have it be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is only day 7, so I've only been doing it for 5 or 6 days. But, you know, you do that 3 times a day for 5 or 6 days and you go, wait, every time I do this, I'm saying the same things. You
know? My attention is...
That's right. My attention is here on what's wrong and not enough. And I want my attention on clarity and expansion and love and gratitude mm-hmm. and kindness and compassion, and that's what I'm going for. And you know,
right.
and then, you know, a few hours later, well, my attention is on
this wrong. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where I want.
And how do you schedule it?
I do when I get up in the morning.
Specific set times.
Yeah, I sort of, when I first set the commitment, I was sort of thinking they would be random, that I would just all of a sudden be moved to stop and do it.
Uh huh.
And I was afraid that would.
That's why I was asking.
I was afraid that would work. So every day I kind of wake up and sort of scan what I know my day looks like,
uh-huh.
and I sort of choose one morning time, uh-huh. one afternoon time, and one evening time when I would be available to do it.
Yes.
When something else wasn't going on that mm-hmm. I had to be attending to.
Mm-hmm.
And
so each day you mm-hmm. set a right. schedule for the three
right.
coming backs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good.
Yeah, we'll keep checking in. It's
an interesting one. And I chose it because I was feeling so at the mercy of mm-hmm. the conditioning that was choosing where my attention was, and I'm wanting it not to be in charge.
And in those 3 moments during the day, you get to choose.
Yeah,
yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Bless me.
Oh, I really relate to Nikki.
notion of the bell curve and the terror with the expansion, and then being out on the end. But I want to say, so I have this little practice I do sporadically. Like I used it, I have a challenging relationship with a stepdaughter. So she was visiting. It has to do with speech and speaking. Sherry taught me something when I took the precepts. I had this interaction with her that was really, somebody was really terrified. And I went on to read a Shambhala Sun magazine that talked about, and it had to do with speech, with conditioning coming out of my mouth. And I read, I very rarely read that magazine, but I read this one little piece of an article, and it was about that. And the gist was, if you can't control your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, how can you control your mind? And there were a couple of questions. And so I took our practice of spelling something on a bracelet. And so one says, and it beneficial, so to bring me to, is what I'm going to say beneficial. And another one is necessary. Is what I'm going to say necessary. So what I noticed sitting here, and like I wore that last night, and it's very helpful with her. She's very
with the
my stepdaughter.
Okay.
That we rate. Oh, she's so caught in suffering.
So you use the technique
to not get caught up in
beneficial and necessary.
Right. So it, and it's helpful. But what's interesting, I noticed sitting here, and the last couple of times I've come, I've not said anything. And so I'm getting this, I think it's conditioning, doing it here, so that nothing is beneficial. Nothing is necessary in terms of my speaking here. So it's kind of...
And how did you decide to speak right now?
Well, I wasn't going to again, and I was going, okay, you know, you haven't been meditating.
Can you hear the somebody else is saying that to you?
Right, okay. You know, so is it, and then just beneficial, is what I'm going to say beneficial? And so there's, I can't, in this brief, now I'm kind of getting that bell for me, maybe there's a bell curve about, there's, where is conditioning and what I'm saying, and where is my heart?
And who's making determinations about beneficial? On what, you know, what set of standards are being referred to? What? How do you do it with your stepdaughter?
Well, there was a huge. It hasn't come up much because there was a huge thing that happened with us, and she said to me, I have a personality that says, you know, your children should not be swearing at you at the top of their lungs. You know, I mean, she's a challenging child. She's a challenging young person. With her, and we sort of, so I haven't seen her because I was just, that was just very hard for me to have her in her home. And she's 28. But she,
but somehow in your interactions with her, being able to refer to beneficial, necessary.
Right. So just it's just like I've done with a ring. I'll hold when I'm in a situation I know I'm going to just be talking when it's not necessary. You know, when it's not. And so for her, it's so she has just so much conditioning. And her conditioning brings up my conditioning, just like with my family. It's the same things with your family.
Sure.
Because she is like my family. But it, so you asked me.
So I asked you how, with her, is that, because it sounds like when you started that you were finding that having that bracelet reminder is being helpful in when you're interacting with her?
Yeah, it was wonderful to know she was coming, and I haven't seen her since this interaction in December that was just Mm-hmm. You know, she just mm-hmm. goes right back to being six.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, the poor child, I mean, poor, whatever. She's got a lot of craziness. It's just hard to be around for both my husband and I.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you make it work? Yeah.
So it's that she says something that somebody reacts to.
Mm-hmm.
And then hold the bracelet and have enough presence to who's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to, she can just get flared up, like, mm-hmm. you know, she all of a sudden had to leave, and there was no argument, mm-hmm. nothing had gone on between her and her father or her and myself, but all of a sudden her conditioning just, she had to leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, she kind of, she does, that happens with her. She just is sort of okay, and you're talking about her work, and then she's in, she has so much anxiety.
Well, it sounds like what happens with the bracelet is that it at a real minimum, which is hardly small, it reminds you to come back to the moment and
yes.
maybe take a breath and maybe not.
Yes, and just have
just
to
speak
study
from
it
reaction, but
right.
just be there.
So is saying nothing. So much of the time, it's better to say nothing. There's no point. Why am
mm-hmm.
I? You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a reaction or instruction, or and it's better mm-hmm. to be present and just be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
it sounds like it not only serves the relationship, but it really serves you.
Oh yes,
kind
because
of taking
then we don't
care
have
of you internally.
Less likely to have these, because somebody has had and thinks that things have gone better and now we're going to have a relationship.
Ah,
and
somebody's got expectations.
Yeah, you know, she's 28,
mm-hmm.
oh, she's going to be different. And the reality is that she's got
mm-hmm.
a lot to deal with. And
mm-hmm. and so you come to group, and you've found, at least the last few times you've been here, that what's resulted from beneficial necessary is you haven't been speaking.
Right.
And today the question arises, is it...
Who's making that judgment?
Who's making that judgment? Who's making those decisions? And it's a really interesting place to look, isn't it?
And well, I know that there's rules, you know, the whole, I have all that conditioning about rules and doing things correctly.
Anybody else got that?
so that person can just sort of take that and run with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat. So you're looking at that and just kind of, sounds like being with that and seeing what you're seeing about, is this conditioning, is this beneficial, is this necessary, just sort of sitting with that and using it as your kind of practice tool for the time being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I want to say is it came up, it's something I've had this thought, and when Nikki shared about being on the edges of the bell curve. Now, somebody just really wants to bell curve, how does it work? You know,
and you know,
yeah.
Let that one go.
That's not what I would do.
Just hot potato.
But the edges, I think that's kind of where I've been, and in terms of life, and I just had this notion, I mean, maybe that's an insight, because I still am mm-hmm. completely, somebody's convincing, convinced me I don't have insights, and that's
mm-hmm.
gone on for five
So
months.
We'll call it a notion.
Yeah.
What was
yeah,
the notion?
I have a notion. And that is, I garden, and I feel like, I know my plants need more manure, tea, and more consistent water and certain,
mm-hmm.
and it's like how some of my plants are being cared for. It seems to me it's a complete reflection of how I'm caring for myself.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just saw that. I don't even know. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Geez. So if I put attention into this plant
mm-hmm.
and nurture it more lovingly.
Care for it
mm-hmm. more specifically and give it what it needs, which is, then it'll flourish. Yes. Oh, huh.
Yeah.
And that is true for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that lovely to see?
Yeah. So it's like a
no separation.
Just like the plants.
Yeah.
The plant.
You need the care and the nourishment just as much as they do.
To flourish.
To flourish. Yeah.
And then, you know, someone wants to say,
that's one of those hot potatoes. Just
hot
drop
potato.
It.
Yeah. Just drop it. Like, but at least I see it.
Yeah.
That it wants to get me into, you know.
Yeah, no, and that's
whatever.
A good time. Just, what? You see it, let yeah. it go, come back to that experience of caring for Leslie the way Leslie cares for the plants.
And finally,
it's quite lovely.
I'm just so thankful that meditate daily or not, that there is this practice.
It's good practice, isn't it?
Yeah, currently a physical place, but maybe not always, mm-hmm. but a community, and that's there, you know, have a job, don't have a job,
yeah,
you know, but there's a place to come. It's like, yeah, it's enough established for sure that I can
something you can count on,
and that is. A miracle.
It is.
Or a blessing. It's
yeah. It's a good thing I think we all appreciate. Mm. Yeah. Penny.
I was taken with the notion of doing what's in front of you with a glad heart.
Yes.
And two things that occurred to me is right as that was being said, I looked up there and I saw that iris and I thought, the iris is like, you know, that just was like an image of the glad
heart.
Yeah,
personification
of
glad heart.
Boom, okay. and then when I was just looking at today, though, while I was meditating, refers to that, the lack of the glad heart part. So what was coming up, what I've been looking at just recently is, so I just had this sort of felt like this astonishing experience of getting my Medicare card in the mail.
Oh!
So first of all, there was just looking at this card and thinking, how could this be? Could I possibly be old enough to get a Medicare card? Old people get Medicare cards.
Right.
I don't do that. But then there's all this stuff you have to read. I mean, there's volumes to read about A and B and C and Medigap and
yeah.
And so one place where I do not go with a glad heart is reading that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a very familiar pattern, you know, life insurance, long forms.
Instructions putting things together?
No. Depending upon what I'm putting together, sometimes I love instructions.
Okay.
I think it's because I think I can put it together. You know, because it's something like I just put together a thing we have for a garden, a composting tea thing. So I just put that together. It was fun to read the instructions and figure out how it worked. I think it's, you know, if there's sort of a concrete thing that happens as a result,
yes.
No problem with instructions. But I think it's that, just that, these things where you have to put together plans and read sort of government ease.
That was exactly the term I was thinking, government ease, yeah.
And so I'm just aware, and it's a, and I think there are people who actually enjoy that.
Mm.
There must be.
we can only assume.
Anyway, there are people that produce that, so.
Yeah.
So I'm just watching, you know, the resistance, the capital R, and it's all resistance. I mean, it's not just to this stuff. It's anything that comes sort of in that form of, mm-hmm. you know, I just want them to say, here it is, here's
yeah.
the money,
yeah,
you're done, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went through all this pension stuff and getting those all organized. And you know, the other thing that sort of just crossed my mind is I'm still fairly of sound mind. What if one weren't? You know,
mm-hmm.
Oh my
yes.
God. Anyway, hopefully that's a distant problem. Anyway, so I'm just aware of the complete lack of a glad heart about that one. About mm-hmm. having to read through this stuff and make those kinds of choices. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it just occurred to me as I was sitting there, I said that would be a good thing to talk about in group and a good thing to talk about with a mentor and get on the recorder.
Oh,
who
yes.
is that? Because that's not a new person.
Yeah. And what is it that bothers her?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, yeah. There's a kind of instant shutdown. There's a kind of, oh, God. It comes up like, ah,
yeah.
I hate this. I mean, that's what, I hate this. That's what comes up. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the feeling is going to be complicated. I think it's a kind of resentment that it's going to be more complicated than it needs to be. I think there's someone in there who just wants to be told this is how it is. You know? It's like, yeah, it's like sort of like, you know, here's the program, here's the money, you're set. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a sense of, this is something I shouldn't have to figure out, but it's being made more complicated than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. You're being asked to do something that's a lot of work, very complex, and you shouldn't even be being asked to do it.
And as you reflect that, what I'm seeing, of course, is that a lot of the hard work and complexity is that all that argument going on in me about hard work and complexity.
Yes.
I mean, that's part of what's making
that's
it
a really good
so
point,
difficult.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So
starting into the project with resistance is not a recipe for glad heartness.
And a whole conversation about how hard this is.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at that. And
what that's it's interesting, what made the determination that it was hard, other than its government ease?
Just that, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, well, you know, it's partly that I don't like things to come when I'm not ready for them. So all of a sudden I made this Medicare stuff, and I have 3 months to make these choices, because it kicks in, you know, on my birthday month. So I think it's just that. It's just like, you know, it affects me the same way. I just got this. It affects me the same way as those emails that come and say, you must send this to 12 people in the next 6 minutes.
Oh.
That'll be a blessing. And then part of me just rises up and says, I'm not going to send this to anybody. Don't tell me what to do. This is not what I have. This
don't
is not
what
I'm going to do right now.
Uh-huh.
Don't give me this task. Don't give me this time limit.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of reaction of, I don't want this right now.
Yeah.
I'm busy, I got a lot of stuff to do. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I do not choose to do this.
Exactly.
So don't make me choose
that's
to
right.
do this.
That's part of it. And I must choose one way or
another. You must.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of
or not. Just going, I mean,
well, yeah, but I'm not going to
they'll choose for you.
Yeah. So that's part of it. And there's just also part of a, it's a conditioned response to things with lots of words and lots of complicated instructions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it's funny, I remember when I was working, I was an administrator of a primary school, and these parents came in one day, and we had a kid who just took a long time to learn to read. And that didn't concern me, but it concerned them. He was like in third grade, and he was still struggling. And as I listened to him and talk about what it was like for him to look at a printed page, I thought, it's just like when I look at life insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's just too much stuff.
Yeah.
And I figured, in time, it would cease to be that way for him,
mm-hmm.
and it did. It's not ceased to be that way. Government ease. It's a kind of it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
part of it.
Yeah. So the timeline and the you must choose
yeah.
and you don't want it right now because you're not ready for it.
And I'm never ready for that apparently.
Yeah.
So something that someone defines as gobbledygook as you know someone else's effort to make things really complicated and difficult.
Yeah, it's not exactly literature.
No, it's So that's just interesting to look at, and I don't know if those are different parts or.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certainly habitual responses.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I saw another place where I can get out of the glad heart, and it has to do. I saw it in contrast was with things that I actually don't mind doing, and sometimes and even enjoy doing that I put off.
Mm.
And then the putting of them off makes them harder and harder and harder to do. And what if I were to do them right away, I could do them with really quite a lot of energy and, you know, certainly a willing heart, if not necessarily what I would call a blind heart. But I just caught how when I put them off and they pile up, then suddenly they become a chore.
And the piling up, what does the piling up do?
Well, I put off this one and then I put off this one, and then I put off this one, and they still all need to be done.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just did it,
yeah,
I'd be free and quiet.
So looking in that place, which you probably are, of the moment of putting off, who does that?
Who does
and
that?
And what's her motivation?
Yeah, what goes on there with that?
Yeah.
So again, I haven't looked at it, but I will. And I just interesting, because it's a different kind of lack of a glad heart.
Mm-hmm.
It does not appear to be so much in the nature of the thing
mm-hmm.
as in a process I do of putting off.
Yeah, and it sounds like one that in effect is designed to short-circuit any glad heart.
Yeah.
That even that very, I'm projecting that very first putting it off, because there it is to be done.
Right, and it's just hanging out there to be done.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Little so, munching, little conditioning munching in the background.
That's right.
Very interesting. Brian.
I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's kind of like this little standard white lab rat. It really gets used in every kind of different experiment as the model organism. I hate X has kind of become that for me.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just...
It's so, what just pops in automatically.
It's just kind so of, consistent and so reliable, and it's always going to take the same form, and it's always going to respond to the same things, and, you know...
Mm-hmm. It's helpful having that lab rat analogy to look at next time it comes up.
Yeah, it pops up, and it's like, oh, hey, I hate... How you doing? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen you in a couple hours. Which really, actually, this content, that how are you going to make me believe that? It's become such just like a huge red flag. If I hear I hate, mm-hmm. then I know, oh, okay, that process has now launched itself.
Yeah.
Let's look around and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And its favorite thing is when I hit my head on things, which is all the time. All the time. The story that I hear is that the whole monastery is designed on the assumption that nobody
really
over 5'8 is going to ever come. So I find a new place to whack my head at least twice a week, I'd say. And I revisit old places.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. It's not that once like the white lab rat. Yeah.
And every time I hate, it's funny because it piggybacks on the sensation.
Mm.
Because the pain sensation, if I whack my head hard enough, is enough to drive me out of being able to just track, just be aware. It's so all encompassing. It just drives everything out, and then the moment attention finally gets, that pain level drops down below the threshold where I can actually attend to this,
mm-hmm.
boom, here it comes in, this moment. I hate.
Yeah.
But it's such a model. It's so just fill in the gap. It's like conditioned Mad Libs.
Mm.
whatever's currently around, I hate light. I hate tree. I hate flower.
And how fortunate that you see it, because it would be really easy for that to be, just keep you in constant misery, hating everything, and believing that you hate everything. And it doesn't sound like you're that lost in it much of the time.
That one basically never, because years ago I was had this moment where I was like, what's the point of hating anything?
Mm.
I'm dropping that from my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So if I hear that, that's not me.
Yeah.
And just how I got this little lab rat status is because of, been hearing it for years. I'm like, wait, this is popping up everywhere.
Yeah, hearing it and really beginning to question it and realizing that's not me. That's not my experience.
And the fun part of it is then getting to see how the conditioned mindset wants to set up this, it wants to set up a new duality of unconditioned and conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to say, conditioned, unconditioned, so we want to be on this side over here,
mm-hmm.
having this awesome unconditioned experience, but we could end up over here. And my experience is that that's just as much made up as anything else.
Yeah, somebody is in there doing that.
Yeah. So when I come, you know, I have this kind of blinding owl that I've heard really bad experience, and then I come to and I'm with, I hate, and that's a conditioned moment. And the moment that I recognize, that I see it as conditioning,
yes,
you know, to say, oh, hey buddy, how you been there? Haven't mm-hmm. been trying to convince me to anything for a little while now, okay. It's just all gone.
Yeah.
And it's, takes me back to my favorite Wayne Ng thing where he's saying that, you know, one thought of wisdom undoes 1,000 years of ignorance,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. You know, and then it's always, feels like, you know, the most conditioned place is a hair's breadth away from freedom and happiness and joy.
Yeah, which is kind of where we started with the bell curve idea. Yeah.
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 So it's just to, instead of taking the attention into it,
mm-hmm.
to put the attention onto it as it.
Yes.
To go, oh, hey, and to have, I'm very enamored with the notion of having a party every time I come back, so.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, hey.
Time process. To celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah, you were getting me there. Very good. And then it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's life again.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really fun. I'm coming into a place where I'm very, very grateful for the I hate whatever. Because not all, you know, in the same way that it's trying to piggyback onto sensations, I piggyback onto it.
Yes.
It comes up, right? And I go, oh, hey! And then it's like, clue in, what else is going on?
You're in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so some other process has got me going just fine. And then here comes, I hate, it's a little greedy.
Yeah.
And I get pulled out of all of them.
Yeah. And back into the moment.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. It's nice that it's very, very consistent. And I find lots and lots of opportunities to give it a chance to come up. Because it really does help to bring me back.
Yes. And do you see anything about the process of continual bumping your head?
Mm.
Other than the world is built too short.
Not really, no. It's you know, I have a hat with a brim on sometimes.
And,
you know, it's like I've got the weed eater, and so I'm paying attention to where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where my vision is, and I don't realize that there's the woodshed's only like 4.5 feet tall or something
yeah.
like that. And I'm coming at a crouch to try to get this right vision, and I just stand
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Or there's an outhouse that I can't stand up in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I go in there, and you know, I've been here for a little while, and I stand up. Oh,
yeah.
I'll stand up here. Oh, I hate that. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, the hat with the brim is definitely a hazardous apparel.
Even the hat without a brim, even when I just have my little crochet hat, just a little tiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not looking up, if I've got my eyes, you know.
Right.
And I've recently had a difficult relationship with gravity on occasions, so I've been trying to kind of scan where I'm stepping as well. It's a fun little trade-off.
Yeah, yeah. Taking really careful steps.
Yeah.
Focusing your attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all good spiritual opportunities.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I just noticed in the discussion about the Medicare card and its forms, which I don't have yet, but it will be here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be faced with the same thing, and I have a similar one who hates that kind of stuff, and it comes out particularly with income tax.
Well, I was thinking government ease. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know for me that part of my hating and fearing of that kind of thing is that I will somehow do it wrong.
And they'll come get you.
That they'll come get me, or the choice I make will be the one that, you know, but they actually say you should never make that choice yeah. because you'll never get any, you know, you won't get, I mean, you know, it's just like, it's just, it's like I have a belief that, something, it's like a belief that in order to succeed with this task, I should know something that I have no way of knowing. You know, that the people who can succeed, the people who are able to succeed with this have other information and other guidance that I don't have.
Yes.
And on my own, there's no way that I could look at this and do it right.
Which is a really interesting projection, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are other people, there is something to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know it. Mm-hmm. And they do. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can get through this and I can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you were saying that, I suspect that part of where that comes from is that conditioning so often tells me I did it wrong. I mean, you know, it's because I have a little friend who follows me around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not that I do a lot of things wrong. But it will almost always tell me that that was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
even
that,
though down the line,
yeah.
it's obvious that whatever you did was just fine.
Yeah, or...
It will have already conditioned you to believe mm-hmm. you did something wrong.
Yeah. Or I'm just thinking, or, you know, or having to make a... I don't know, having to make a call on something, a choice on something where... You know, you could probably get all the information you could get, and you would still have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, doing the best I can to do it correctly,
right.
or the way that would be the best, or mm-hmm. whatever. But there's no way really of knowing.
Right.
And conditioning will almost always in that situation say, well, that was not the right.
Right. That's where I think tossing a coin comes in really handy.
Yeah. So I think that's part of why when I come up against things like, you know, like my income tax, you know, and I mean, and I don't read those forms, you
mm-hmm.
know. I have, you know, the computerized, the one that asks you nice little questions, and so I can usually figure out how to answer the questions, and then it knows how to fill in the forms.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have to say there are a lot of things I don't have just blind faith in, but that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's warranted or not, I don't know. But it's like, okay, when those forms come out, you know, I send them off. And
that's a way to take care of the one who, confronted with all of that gobbledygook, says,
right.
there's something here I don't know and I should. And
right.
Now we've got some software that will help me through this.
Right, and I just send it off and say, I hope no one ever asks me any questions about
mm-hmm.
this.
They come over to the computer.
That's right. You know, but it's just, it's that, and I think government has a lot to do with it because they could somehow get me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the consequences, it might be greater if I were wrong. I don't know. They probably wouldn't be. But
which is interesting.
But there's a whole belief and sort of, you know, I just, it's so interesting how one person can sort out, well, this in this area I'm fine and things feel comfortable, and in this area not so good, things don't feel comfortable. And they don't look that much different. Probably to anybody
Well,
else.
The process is always the same, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds so familiar, but regardless of the content,
the
process is, I have to do it right,
mm-hmm. right.
or something horrible will happen if I do it wrong. I have to choose, I have to...
Right.
Yes.
And the only...
I have to know.
Right. And the only difference is between the ones I'm comfortable with and the ones I'm not is whether I have a perceived a perception that I can be right in that situation.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because there are some kinds of forms I fill out or some kinds of tests that I do that do not give me that feeling because it's like, well, I know how to do that.
Right.
I can be successful with that.
Yes, so you don't worry about it.
I don't worry about it. I don't have any qualms about, you know, and the other things. I have no idea whether I can be successful at it. And someone
which is points
does
to,
not like that.
Yes, well, I was going to say, just points to a place. Wouldn't it be fun to have a glad heart in
that's
the face
right.
of
that's right. Well, and that's really what, I mean, more and more, I'm just trying to practice, I don't know.
Yeah, and isn't this fun?
I don't know about anything. I mean, I, you know, don't even know, we don't know when we get up in the morning whether we're going to be successful with being here when we go to bed.
or whether the night before we're going to get up in the morning.
That's right, you know. And there's, I have to say, there's some part of me who finds that delightful, actually.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, it's on the one side of the little top of the bell curve.
Well, and
right across from the one who goes, ah!
Yeah, and I hope she's on a recorder.
Yes,
the
well,
one
actually.
Who just delights in all of it.
And now she's going to, actually, where she's going to be today, she's going to get drawn because I'm on the day of the 30-day retreat where you look at aspects who are involved in your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that is the newest one to look at is the one who really wants to be able to direct her attention and be present. And she doesn't get much attention because all the attention often goes to the ones that are afraid.
Ah, makes a lot more noise.
That's right. Yeah. So I know really well the ones who are afraid, the ones who are not happy, the ones who are scared, the ones who are sad. I have their pictures. I know how to describe them.
Mm.
But I've never taken the time to
see that telling?
Who's the one who does want to show up.
Never taken the time to see the one who does want to show up.
Yeah.
So it's going to be quite a day.
It's her day.
Mm. And you'll report back.
Yeah. Somebody just said, ah!
Well, that sort of all feeds into something I've worked with for years, which is asking for help.
Mm.
I try my best to ask for help. I try my best to remember to be the person who remembers to ask for help. The truth is, I can't figure that stuff out. I can read it until the cows buy houses, and I will not be able to figure it out. I won't know the right answers. I have just been through a thing where I'm actually going to have to pay, hopefully, not a lot of money in penalties. Because of an income tax thing, just because I didn't ask or I didn't clarify, I didn't ask for help. And so when my new care time comes, if it ever does, after hearing this, I'm not even going to think about reading that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to work ahead of time, find who it is who knows.
Yes.
Because somebody has figured this out and enjoyed it.
Yes.
Just ask around.
Yes. Yes.
Here's my situation.
Yes.
What to do. And that sounds, you know, that'll work for me.
Yep. Yep. It pays to have friends who are older.
Yes. and the reason, as I said in here not long ago, the thing I've been really working with is losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally occurred to me to ask for help.
Yeah.
And it's working, and so I'm just witnessing here.
It's so amazing, isn't it? To get trained to not ask for help, to guarantee being as often as there are things that we could use assistance with, to be in suffering about it, and then to begin to discover, wow, I could ask for help.
Yeah. And as you were saying, I could see so clearly the point of not asking for help. You know, it's a voice, it's something that just comes up about some you should be able to figure this out. It's going to be easier to figure it out alone than to find somebody who knows the answers already.
Uh-huh.
Well, and it's never my experience that that's true.
Yeah. And what would be the point? I mean, you should be able to figure it out on your own.
Right.
So what?
Well, the point is just so obvious. I get just stuck in putting until I don't have any choice.
Yeah.
And then beaten up for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the whole wheel turning towards that. Thing after thing after thing.
Yeah, and then just turning and saying, hey, I could use a hand here. Starts turning it back again, getting past the resistance to doing that, past all the yeah about why you shouldn't. It's a good time. Glad hearts. Glad hearts to all. Thank you. That's everyone.